And the 7:30 latest, a man in video brandishing a gun. Not a BWA employee, says the state agency. A planned upgrade to the South Coast treatment plant to save Barbados millions of dollars. The Queen Elizabeth Hospital releases a statement in response to a circulating social media message. 20 Haitian migrants found on Virgin Gorda, intensifying concerns about human smuggling. And U.S. Vice President Harris pushes Netanyahu to ease suffering in Gaza. Good morning, I'm Maurice Norville with the 7:30 edition of The Latest from Starcom Network News. The Barbados Water Authority has condemned the actions of a man brandishing a weapon wearing a BWA reflective vest. The BWA, in a social media message, distanced itself from the man who was featured in the video. The post stated that the man is not an employee of the authority, and the authority does not condone any such activities, nor the unauthorized use of its uniforms in such a manner. Also in the news, Prime Minister Mia Amor-Motley, who says a planned upgrade to the South Coast treatment plant will save Barbados over $140 million. Ms. Motley was responding to concerns by a farmer during last night's St. Philip Speaks about the inadequate water supply to his farm.
We do have BADMC water, but we are on the schedule system, which we only get 3, maybe 2.5 hours of water a day. And it is woefully inadequate if you're trying to do any kind of commercial farming. I was told by BADMC that there were too many people on the irrigation system. And yet, I was added, and people continue to be added subsequently. And what it really results in is that even when I am supposed to be getting water for that 2.5 hours, 3 hours a day, the pressure is so low, it's pretty much pointless.
And the Prime Minister explained how the government would assist residents.
Two of the last papers we took this evening related to the Water Authority and the Debt for Climate Swap. In fact, the Inter-American Development Bank Board yesterday approved the guarantee from their end. The Green Climate Fund in Korea last week approved it, and the European Investment Bank approved it. The idea is, as you know, that we will upgrade the South Coast sewage treatment plant to tertiary treatment so that the water is cleaner than even the one that falls or goes into the aquifer now, because that is not treated. And that we use that replenishment of the aquifers plus carrying water to St. Philip for people like you in order to get water.
And she explained how the project would assist the Water Authority and the farmers.
The savings that we get will come, we hope, to be around $140 million that will allow us to build out the treatment plant. And then on top of that, the GCF has also given us a grant of $40 million US dollars. The excess money that we have or will have from it will also be used to help the Water Authority deal with what we call non-revenue water, in other words, burst pipes, and fixing them, as well as other wastewater solutions.
Prime Minister Mia Amor-Motley. The Queen Elizabeth Hospital denies any major COVID-19 outbreak, but says protocols are in place for isolation. In a release issued in response to a viral message on social media, communications specialist at the QEH, Shane Seeley, stated that the hospital has noticed an increase in COVID-19 cases presenting to the accident and emergency department, but indicated that those suspected cases have been isolated.
Reports indicate more patients are presenting to the accident and emergency department with symptoms of the virus. However, there is no outbreak of COVID-19 at the QEH, as suggested in some reports on social media. The accident and emergency department's medical team has been able to isolate suspected positive cases and offer the necessary medical intervention. This forms part of the hospital's isolation protocol to help prevent transmission at the facility.
And he's advising patients presenting to the A&E department to wear a mask and to inform healthcare personnel of their condition if they believe that they've contracted COVID-19. Also in the news, Team Barbados looking to win several major awards at the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association's Taste of the Caribbean Culinary Competition in Miami this coming November. Word of this from President of the Barbados Hotel and Tourism Association, Ryan Ford, during the launch of the Barbados National Culinary Team Competition at the BHTA's headquarters in Belleville. The competition returns for the first time this year since the COVID-19 pandemic, and Barbados will be sending a 10 to 15 member team to represent. Mr. Ford provided details on plans for the local component, called Taste of Barbados, and the regional component, Taste of the Caribbean.
Taste of the Caribbean is the 18th to the 20th of November at FIU in Miami, Florida. Taste of Barbados, as we finalize for the end of August, that competition will be here locally. So we do have an application process and interview panel that will select the coaches and the managers, as we put in a structure that has been there before, but also tweak it a bit as the competition is being tweaked. So then that would help us with the training process, sourcing, the sponsorship, as well as any new techniques and skills that we wish to portray as we are defending our title and we want to win again.
And he outlines some of the key benefits.
Another key aspect of the Barbados Culinary Team is the invaluable opportunities it provides our chefs and bartenders to showcase their skills and gain exposure at events at home and across the globe. These have included the Barbados Food and Rum Festival, Gourmet Taste, Night of the 90s, as well as the Barbados on the Water in Canada, as numerous trade shows and expos to promote the island in our source markets.
President of the Barbados Hotel and Tourism Association, Ryan Ford. Several businesses in the city are reporting slow sales as the climax of the crop over season approaches. Starcom Network visited stores along Tudor Street where the workers at Forever Blessed Boutique, J&B Fashions and Genesis Boutique are all hoping that sales will pick up as major events draw nearer.
It has been a little bit slow leading up during the crop over events. Hopefully we'll pick up afterwards. During with the 50th, we're not seeing much persons being close for events. And then with events also being canceled, for instance, Buffer Color, one of our major events that heavily affected us when it came to our sales, because Forever Blessed is not only a box office, but everyone shops in Forever Blessed for Buffer Color. So that big cancellation, it set us back a little bit. But hopefully with the remainder weeks, we are sales pick up for the crop over season.
So far, sales picking up, but slowly, very slow for quite some time now. Hoping that the sales can pick up further down the line as from next weekend until crop over.
It is not like before. You know, since COVID has come, things have been so different. When 5 o'clock, Bridgetown shutting down. Every store done got the things pulling and everybody looking to go. So we're waiting now to see what's going to happen the last days leading up to that time.
Workers at boutiques in the city. It's been reported that 20 Haitians were picked up in the northern area of Virgin Gorda in the British Virgin Islands earlier this week, intensifying concerns over human smuggling in this British overseas territory. The group of 12 males and 7 females, including 3 children, were transported from Virgin Gorda to Tortola with assistance from the Marine Unit at the Royal Virgin Islands Police Force. The latest incident is said to underscore ongoing challenges in the territory and the region as Haitians continue to flee severe economic and social hardships, including widespread hunger, political violence, and lack of government infrastructure in their home country. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris has pressured Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to help reach a Gaza ceasefire deal that would ease the suffering of Palestinian civilians, striking a tougher tone than President Joe Biden did. In a televised address, Ms. Harris stated, "It is time for this war to end," after she held face-to-face talks with Netanyahu. Harris, the likely Democratic presidential nominee after Biden dropped out of the election race on Sunday, did not mince words about the humanitarian crisis gripping Gaza after 9 months of war between Israel and Hamas militants. Harris's remarks were sharp and serious in tone and raised the question of whether she'd be more aggressive in dealing with Netanyahu if elected president on the 5th of November. But analysts do not expect there would be a major shift in U.S. policy toward Israel, Washington's closest ally in the Middle East. In the 7:30 edition of The Latest from Starcom Network News. A man in a video brandishing a gun, not a BWA employee, says the state agency. A planned upgrade to the South Coast treatment plant to save Barbadians millions of dollars. The QEH releases a statement in response to a circulating social media message of 20 Haitian migrants found on Virgin Gorda, intensifying concerns about human smuggling in the area. U.S. Vice President Harris pushes Netanyahu to ease suffering in Gaza. 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the One Caribbean Media. I am Maurice Norville.